Saturday Night Theatre.
It was shirt sleeve order at the Oval this week, and with temperatures up in the 80s, it was just the day for getting a suntan. The fifth test between England and Australia, with the series standing at 1-1. While a crowd of 22,000 sizzled under the August sun, the Australians were getting a roasting from a different kind of scorcher. Harold Larwood, the miner's son from Nottinghamshire. Lightning Larwood, as the boys from down under know him. Lightning is right. He bowls with deadly speed. Here's Woodford facing up to the English speedster. Ouch! He'll remember that for a day or two. Now this thunderbolt makes Jackson wish he was back in Wagga Wagga. But Bradman, the young Australian marvel, is still there at lunch with 98 runs, and it's anybody's game. In the heat of the afternoon, the scoreboard creeps ever higher as Bradman takes Australia to 570 for four. Come on, Larwood, you can do it. How's that? And Bradman is out caught, but not before he scored 232. Australia go on to win the match and take the Ashes. Well done, Australia. Well tried, England, and well bowled, Larwood. Thar's a good un, as they say back home. But watch out, you cobbers. We'll be down under to get those Ashes back before you can say kangaroo.
The Englishman Abroad by Christopher Douglas, with Michael Cochrane as Douglas Jardine, Robert Lang as Pelham Warner, and Michael Kitchen as Harold Larwood.
Well, there's Bradman, of course.
Ah, no. An inspired player is worth three Bradmans. All the concentration in the world isn't worth a halfpenny. Inspiration.
Oh, Douglas, that really is the most absurd nonsense. You get caught on a drying wicket
and
with...
the same applies. Experience and empirical knowledge by themselves are utterly useless. What about you two? Are you inspired?
Well, I don't know, really.
Well, you're no good to me unless you are. Right. I think we might as well get through, gentlemen.
Yes, come on, drink up, you two.
Right. Well, I think I'll just go and shake a leg, Skipper, if you don't mind.
I think I'll have one, too.
All right, we'll see you in there, then. Nice chaps.
Yes.
Well, why do you say it like that?
Just the thought of taking two nice fast bowlers to Australia. Well, are you ready, Arthur?
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Jardine. Mr. Carr, very nice to see you. I have a very nice table for you, if you'd just like to follow me. I'm sure you'll find it...
Oh, no, they're triers. They'll work. They always have done for me.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, unfortunately, effort by itself isn't really a lot of use in Australia. They could just bowling fast and straight, particularly at Bradman. I mean, he'll have a whale of a time.
Well, how do you bowl at Bradman, for goodness sake?
Short.
Huh?
He's yellow.
Oh, don't talk bloody nonsense.
Oh, yes. Now, you know who really puts the wind up?
He's not frightened of Larwood.
Ah, but he is frightened of Larwood.
What's all this about?
Oh, he wants to tell us what lucky lads we are to do the tour.
Oh, knackers to that.
Why?
Well, they're not going to leave us out, are they? Come on, top of bloody averages.
Oh, they don't take notice of that, you know. No, you don't get picked for your bowling.
What the?
Well, they'll find out what your favourite colour is, you see. Then they decide. Oh, no, it's all carefully worked out.
Why is it just us two tonight?
I wanted to get to know us better, Skipper said.
He's hardly said a bloody word to us.
Well, he might want us to do extra duty on the tour or something. I don't know. He's a funny bloke, Jardine.
I'm not carrying his golf club round Australia for a start.
You'll do as you're told, son.
What was he like on the last tour?
I don't know. Never spoke to him. Now, I used to talk to the other amateurs a bit, but...
Mm.
We're a bit different now, he's Skipper, I suppose.
Well... Won't be much for him to do, though, will there? I mean, we're only going to give Bradman more batting practice.
Sure, they couldn't leave you out, could they? Not with your guts and determination.
Well.
Come on, now, let's get back. I don't speak unless you spoke to.
Right.
And if you don't understand my question, just say, indeed.
Right.
If you care to look at the menu, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. We have tonight a very special Omar à l'Américaine. And also some very nice Caledonia.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ah, There they are. I wonder what they were doing.
Trying to work out why they're here. Very nice. Oh, I managed to see a bit of the game today. I had them both bowling.
Yes.
Certainly paid off.
Today, yes.
Come and sit down. Just talking about the game.
Oh.
What'll be your feelings?
Well, it'd be nice to have a look at your bowl on. Well, most of these bitches here are like cold rice pudding. You pour everything into it, you get nothing out of it. Like Christmas today, though.
You only get a pitch that bounces like that once in a blue moon.
Bill, my dear fellow, you haven't got a menu. Here you are.
Thank you.
Tom. Carrie Dagnua sounds all right. Chap says the lobster's good, but he's probably just trying to flog it.
Oh, indeed.
So, Harold, you don't use leg theory on dead wickets?
No.
Why not?
Well, I think it's a waste of time, Mr. Jardine. The ball just sits up to be hit.
Hmm. It can only be hit to one place, though, can't it?
Well, leg side, yes.
Well, perhaps it hasn't occurred to you that if you put all your fielders there, you stop the batsman scoring.
Oh, well, so
the trouble with that is that you need someone who can bowl every ball in exactly the same place. I mean, he's got to hit a spot about the size of a sixpence.
Yes, that's right.
Well, difficult.
But I tried something a bit like that on the last tour, but, well, you see, Brad...
Nothing to do with Brad. But simply a badly coordinated attack. Unless you plan your tactics, then of course Bradman will score runs. Anyone will ready well score runs.
No, but he had time to play me. See, speed didn't bother him.
Then evidently he'd need more speed. Mm-hmm.
Well, that would have to be a lot faster than anything I've ever seen.
Oh, yes. Well, that's only half the battle, of course. It's accuracy you really need to work on.
Yeah.
Harold?
Need a lot of work.
Yes, it would. Need a Herculean effort from you, Bill, my old chum. Yes?
Yes, Mr. Jardine.
Good. Now then, I shall need your cooperation for the next month or so, particularly you, Arthur.
Mm-hmm. Why me?
I want Harold and Bill to bowl fast leg theory for the rest of the season. Now they need to work on building up speed and accuracy in every available moment until we...
Yeah, steady on, Douglas. I don't know whether we can do that. We've still got a chance of winning the championship.
Yes, well, I'm concerned with winning the Ashes.
Yes, of course, I know, but we can't afford to experiment at the moment.
Now, look here, Arthur, it's up to you. I would very much like to take these two men to Australia. But if you won't allow them to bowl fast leg theory...
All right. We'll give it a try.
Splendid. Now, when's your next game?
Wednesday. Essex, I think.
We've got a few days to work on it, then. And we shall see what happens, eh?
Yeah, well...
What?
Well, Essex is one thing and Bradman's another.
Oh, damn Bradman. He's just a bloody convict, for God's sake. He's there to be beaten, just like the rest of them.
Look, I'd like to get him, Mr. Jardine. I really would, but I was thinking more about containing him than blasting him out.
And what about the oval year before last?
Well, he scored 200 and odd.
Yeah, but you hit him, didn't you?
Well, once or twice.
Then he'll be expecting you to hit him again.
Aye.
Well, then.
Douglas, I can't go on with it. It doesn't work and it's bloody dangerous. Somebody's going to get killed.
We can't expect results yet, Arthur. It won't work unless you keep those men at it all the time. Speed and accuracy. They must practice.
Look, we've still got an outside chance for the championship. We've thrown one game away already because of this. I'm getting hell from my committee. They want to know what I'm playing at. I can't risk it anymore, Douglas.
I see.
I'm sorry. Well, I can't risk it. Look, I'll get them bowling leg theory in the nets. I'll do all I can, Douglas.
Yes, I'm sure you will. So... You have a crack at winning the championship, and I'll try and find some bowlers to win the Ashes.
What do you mean?
Goodbye, Arthur.
It seems to me, gentlemen, that Douglas is at the bottom of this horrible new fast leg theory craze. He seems to have taken it upon himself to offer a berth to Australia to the bowler who can injure the most batsmen before the end of the season. So, if anyone has any suggestions as to how we should deal with...
If he wants to make alterations to the touring party, he must apply to the committee. He knows that's the correct procedure. He has no authority to act on our behalf.
Man's off his head. We've got three fast bowlers already. It's more than enough. I think we should get someone else for the job. Plenty of chaps who could do it.
No one else will win us back the Ashes, though. But I would suggest that we express our disapproval of this kind of bowling as strongly as possible. Yes. We can do it through our club committees and so on. I'll do a piece in the Morning Post. It should get the point.
This is the 129 against England.
You're still 1929.
Yes. You can see on the diagram that he didn't score many behind square on the leg side. There's the odd leg glance to fine, but...
Yes. It appeared that our Mr. Bradman does not like the larboard bumper.
Maybe not, but he's quick enough to get out of the way.
I wonder.
Well, if you look back to the 1930 charts... Here.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Hello?
Douglas?
Yes?
Arthur. Are you there?
Yes.
Ah, well, listen, you old bastard. It looks as if we can say goodbye to the championship. Bloody Yorkshire cruising in again. So, well, I don't see why on earth I should help you, but I'm going to. I'm going to let Harold and Bill bowl your ruddy fast leg theory stuff.
Thank you, Arthur.
Yeah.
No, I'm most grateful.
And just hope it's worth it.
It will be.
Warner doesn't think much of it, does he? Did you see his piece in the Morning Post?
No.
Ah, not cricket, sir. He's in a right old tiz.
Oh, how very extraordinary.
Well, he is the manager. I suppose he feels he ought to be consulted.
It's nothing to do with him. It's my job to win the Ashes and his job to look after the luggage.
How long will he take to recover?
He says not more than a fortnight. But you can never tell with these mental things.
So we're thinking of someone for the whole tour, really.
I'm afraid so. One can't replace a bowler of Tate's ability. I'm not sure we oughtn't to go for a batsman.
Our batting could be stronger.
Most of these fellows bloody lucky to be picked, if you ask me.
Of course, as manager, I'd go for a good team man. Someone who's really going to put his weight on to it.
There are plenty of chaps who can bat and bowl, of course. Why don't we have one of them? A fellow down at home.
We need another fast bowler.
What?
Oh, I think you're pretty well served in that department already, Douglas.
You've got three of them, for God's sake.
We need another. We should take Burrs of Yorkshire.
Oh, dear, I really think...
But that's the chap who tried to knock Hobbs's head off. You can't take him to Australia. The man's a lunatic.
I think it would be unwise, Douglas.
Gaumont British News, presenting the world to the world. The roving eye takes us now to Tilbury Docks, where the MCC team are boarding the RMS Orontes bound for Australia. They'll be away from home for 7 months, and their mission is to win back the Ashes. The old enemy have had them now for over 2 years, and our boys reckon that's just 2 years too long. Douglas Jardine's 16-strong party includes a battery of 4 fast bowlers, Allen, Vose, Larwood and Bowes. Also in the team, just to show the Aussies that we really mean business, His Royal Highness Iftikhar Ali the Nawab of Patawde. To his teammates, he's Patty. But there'll be no royal stateroom for His Highness on this voyage. It'll be a run round the deck to keep trim and lights out at 10 o'clock. All ashore that's going ashore. The roving eye sees all. Wives and sweethearts say their goodbyes. Mrs. Larwood tells our Harold that when he gets home, he'd just better have those Ashes with him. Don't cry, ladies. They've got a job to do. Good luck, boys, and bon voyage.
First of all, it is my duty as captain to welcome you aboard RMS Orontes and, of course, to wish you a pleasant voyage. Now, we are very fortunate in having the MCC cricket team on board with us. They're going to be touring round Australia for the next few months or so, playing cricket. So I'm sure we'd all like to wish them the very best of luck. And providing they don't start hammering their wickets into the deck, we should get on swimmingly. And so before I call on Mr. Douglas Jardine to speak to us, I would ask you to raise your glasses, and in the hope that his team beats the Australian team, the toast, ladies and gentlemen, is the Ash.
Commander O'Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen, it is my intention that we shall bring back an urnful of ash. As this great ship moves ever southward, stopping at the great ports of Europe, Africa, and Asia, it carries cargo in its holds, passengers in its cabins and staterooms, but let us not forget that it also carries the ideals and standards of the British Empire. Some of us will leave the ship before it reaches Australia, and some of us will remain. But as we spread out across the globe, we all bear a responsibility to uphold those standards and ideals. No one bears this burden more readily than the 16 sportsmen for whom I act as humble spokesman. Australia is a large nation. It may one day be a great nation, but as yet, it is an infant nation. Infants, as we know, are resentful in defeat and vainglorious in victory. Only by example can the infant learn to accept both success and failure with the same degree of dignity. So, too, with Australia. As Chaucer said, O unsad people, ever untrue. We are, in a sense, imperial envoys, and our task is to administer the corrective lesson of defeat. Kipling calls us flanneled fools, and he may well be right. But we have the king's work to do.
I don't believe this. Stirring stuff, Roger. It's a bit pre-war, all that, isn't it?
It's me.
Our manager's gone wide. Plum.
Now then, I need a drink.
Ah, thank you. Great speech, old boy.
Thank you, my dear.
Douglas, are we actually going to invade Australia? Because I thought we were just going to play cricket.
We're going to beat Australia, Gubby.
Do we have to announce it in such imperious terms? Don't go talking like that in Australia, for God's sake. You know how sensitive they are.
For a people who will take any opportunity to be offensive, I do find that very curious.
Well, we don't want to antagonise them.
I'm afraid we won't achieve our purpose if we constantly have to consider the finer feelings of a few ruddy convicts.
Well, I'm sorry, but a large part of my job involves considering our host.
Then I suggest you get on with your job and leave us to the business of winning matches.
Excuse me.
That was bloody rude.
Yes, have a heart, old
man. We won't beat Australia with that sort of attitude.
Won't get anywhere by being bloody rude.
We could do with a lot less benign diplomacy and a lot more fight. We have some extremely strong opposition ahead of us. And if we're going to beat them, we have to hit them.
Within reason, though, Douglas.
Yes, it's only a bat and ball, old boy.
It's rather more than that to some. It's the livelihood of the professionals and the amateurs.
Douglas, don't be so obtuse. Look, have another drink while the steward's here.
Oh, thank you.
It's a bit of a dull old party over here, too.
Oh, sorry, Paddy.
Thank you.
It's just that some of us are a bit concerned. I know it's not the time for a team talk now, but, well, there have been some funny rumours about tactics.
Oh?
The fast bowlers, oh, not Gubby here, but the other three, you know, bowling bumpers all the time, beaning the convicts.
Oh, really?
Mm. Fast leg theory.
Oh, good gracious, that's been in use for years.
Not in quite the same way as it was in August.
Oh, yes.
No, not with the balls being deliberately aimed at the batsman. It's negative cricket.
Been on the dangerous side, what?
No. Well, there's nothing to stop the batsman ducking out of the way. Or he can have a go at it. And any batsman who can't take a few knocks ought to take up golf.
But is it necessary?
We shan't know whether it's necessary or not until we start playing.
Don't you think we're good enough to beat them?
Of course we are.
But not good enough to beat them on merit consistently.
What on earth is the matter?
Then give us one good reason for using those tactics.
I'm not obliged to give you reasons.
Oh, Douglas.
I say, it's getting a bit too shutty for me, all this.
Douglas!
Hello? You off as well, are you?
Shan't be long.
Douglas!
Douglas! Douglas, look, don't fly off the handle. We just want to know where we stand.
Just thought I'd have a breath of fresh air.
I don't want to press you. I know you're still planning.
Not at all.
It's this fast leg theory thing. I know you're the skipper. It's your campaign. That's absolutely right.
Team.
But are you expecting me as a bowler to use this kind of attack?
Why do you ask?
Well, I'm afraid I couldn't do it, Douglas.
Well, you mustn't worry about it.
No, I just thought it only fair to tell you.
Of course. Ah, lovely sky. Now, don't worry about it. You won't be playing in any of the test matches anyway.
I see. So there's no more to be said, then?
No. See you later, perhaps.
J.A.
Oh, God, it's easy.
Shut up.
J.H. Oh, it's so bloody obvious.
Shut up, I can't think. Well, it must be Jacobs.
It isn't bloody Jacobs. I told you, the clue is don't wear a brassiere.
Well, he don't, does he?
Go on, think.
I am thinking. I'm fed up with this game. What's time?
11:30.
Better get some sleep, I suppose.
J.A.
No, shut up, will you? Chuck is a smoke. It's stupid, this, isn't it?
I mean, you go all the way round sodding world, and then you have to wait another night before we can get off.
Well, we always have to wait till it's light.
I feel like swimming ashore.
It's about 2 miles, you know.
So?
You'll need all the strength you got soon, so save it.
Gonna roll them over.
Aye.
Oh, yeah. What about Bradman?
I'm after him, all right.
Yeah?
Aye.
Well, he's a good player, though.
He did me the last time, but I'm going to bloody do him this time.
Jennifer Hargreaves? No. We won't play first game, will we?
Well, we might play, but he won't let us use leg theory till the first test, I should think.
It's 5 weeks, though. We'll have to practice sometime. What is that?
Somebody's had a few, isn't they?
It's coming for water.
Is it?
Yeah, listen. I'm going to open portal. It's a bloke in a dinghy.
Yeah,
he must have rode out all this way.
He's a loony, isn't he?
I've got to move over, I can't see. Look it. That'll sober him up.
Feel him right if he drowns. I'm going back to bed.
Fancy going to all that trouble just to cause a load of bastards. Well, get some sleep, I suppose.
Good night.
Good night. Jean. Oh,
right. Now we know how you get to sleep then, don't we?
Don Redman, and I ask you, is he any good? Don Redman, as a batsman he can surely on the wood. For when he gets into bat, he knocks every record that, for there isn't anything he cannot do.
Good news, boys. In another 2.5 hours, it'll be exactly 24 hours till we get to Perth. Oh,
thanks, Vic.
Hey, Bradders.
What?
Why don't you run on ahead, mate? Tell them we're coming.
Yeah, be a lot quicker the rate this thing's going.
Don Bradman, and I ask you, is he any
good? Shut up, will you?
Hey, I was just thinking. What if you come all this way, 2.5 days in a train, and some pom gets you out first ball, then you've got to go all the way back again. That'd be 5 days in a train for 5 seconds batting. What about that?
Truth, here we go again.
Anybody fancy doing it for me this time?
Not me, mate.
You're on your own, mate.
Oh, well. What's this place called, anyway? Kalgoorlie. Oh,
well, it's a lovely little spot. What? Now, do your time.
Oh, jeez.
Here it goes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for welcoming me so warmly to your lovely little town.
You bet.
My only regret is that I can't stay longer. But I do hope to come back here one day and play some cricket. Thank you very much.
Not in the least. As far as we're concerned, Bradman is a member of the opposition, and that's all there is to it.
Mr. Jardine, your own Neville Curtis wrote recently that he thought the English should do away with mistaken notions of chivalry. What do you think he meant by that?
I make it a rule never to take any notice of what people write in the newspapers.
Finally, Mr. Jardine, on behalf of all the correspondents who will be covering the series, may I take it that you will help us as your predecessor did by letting us have the team selections as early as possible?
No. I'm here to play cricket, not to provide scoops for your ruddy newspaper.
Douglas, really? Damn cheek. There's no sense in antagonizing.
Mr. Warner, do you have anything to say about the so-called shock tactics being tried out in the last English season?
Gentlemen, the very word cricket
has become a synonym for all that is true and honest. To say that is not cricket implies something underhand, something not in keeping with the best ideals of British sportsmanship.
I'm not going out there.
Oh, yes, you are, up there. The trainer partners are going to sell your ugly mug.
I might never come back if I go out there. Tell them I'm ill or something.
Well, that's no good. I want to come and see you then.
Tell them I'm shy. Tell them I've committed suicide.
Oh, I'm not going out there.
Well, some of them have to.
You bastard! He's locked himself in the lab. He won't come out.
Look, they're going mad out there. Go out and say something for Pete's sake.
Why me? You've just been elected. Go on, get out of there. Hey!
Gentlemen, it's my honour to greet you on behalf of the other Australian players on the train. Well, unfortunately, Don isn't going to, he died a few hours ago, and so that was a great pity, isn't it? It was a great loss to cricket and everybody else, and so I'm sorry to have to bring you this terrible news, but, I know Don would have loved this little town, and you can bet he'd have wanted to come back here one day and play some cricket. Well, thank you.
Jesus. Nice work, Napper.
It was very moving. I only wish it was true.
Yeah. Oh, went this train move?
Oh, thank God for that.
And so I don't wish to hold up the party any longer. So on behalf of the Western Australia Trotting Association, I'd like to wish the England team luck for tomorrow's game. Yeah. Not too much luck, though, eh? And say that I hope this evening will serve to forge even stronger links between the two great sports of cricket and trotting. Yeah. And finally, trotters, I'd like to ask the committee to stand and join me in giving our guests a real whiter welcome. All right, one, two, three.
It's a thrill to watch the creatures that the good Lord gave. We won't stop trotting till we're in the grave. If you win a little money or you lose a lot, we're happy just as long as we can trot, trot, trot.
Are these owners or trainers?
No idea. They're all mental.
They're just trying to make us welcome, that's all.
Have a drink.
Thank you. Yes, I think we are pretty well all right for tomorrow.
Yeah, only a practice game, really. But as Bradman and co. are coming all the way across Australia, they must be quite keen to have a look at our boat.
Very good reason to disappoint them.
Yes. I don't want them to get a look at Larwood and Vose until just before the first test. Mind you, Gubby's going to be bowling his heart out tomorrow. I've got him thinking he won't be playing in any of the test matches.
Mm. Very crafty of you.
Yeah, but he doesn't need egging on.
What ho, chaps.
Oh, hello, Patty. Feeling fit for tomorrow?
Rather. I say, this is a rather rum old bun fight, isn't it?
All part of winning the Ashes, Patty.
Do these coves actually run about in vests and whatnot?
It's a kind of horse racing, Patty.
Oh.
The combined 11 followed on this morning 434 runs behind. 2UW now brings you a simulated commentary bulletin of the afternoon's play live by Beam Wireless from Perth. Here's Alf Noble.
This is Alf Noble in Perth bringing you your simulated commentary. The players are just coming out now, having had their lunch, and the sun is really beating down. It's Vic Richardson on strike to face Allen. Allen runs in and bowls. Heavens, that's a fast one. And it's bowled him for naught. Richardson goes out and Bradman comes in. Let's see if he can do any better. Allen runs very fastly to the wicket and bowls. And Bradman blocks that one. Jardine, tall and thin, looking like a real dandy in his coloured cap and his fancy cravat, repositions the field by putting a short leg in for Bradman. Allen bowls again and... Oh, dear, dear, that's hit the pride of Australia in the chest. Now it's Painter bowling to Fingleton, who takes 5 runs off the over. Allen again bowling to Bradman. And he's caught at short leg. Bradman out for 10. This is very bad for the combined 11. And Allen has 2 wickets. But the game looks as if it's going to end in a draw. And my, my, how time flies. It's tea time already. This is Alf Noble returning you to Sydney and hoping you enjoyed your simulated commentary brought to you live by Beam Wireless from Perth.
Oh, this is absolutely bloody ridiculous. I refuse to be treated like a child. Where on earth is he?
They must have been held up. The message was that everyone should be changed and ready to play. But I'm afraid I can't really do anything. This is a captaincy matter.
Well, you'll have to take a decision soon. We can't all play. There are 16 of us.
That's a good chance of winning, though.
We're supposed to start in 15 minutes.
I know. I don't know what to do for the best.
Chap likes to know whether he's going to get a knock or not.
Why, gentlemen? Sorry to keep you. As I'm sure you will have realised, there's a very good reason for all this. With the first test coming up shortly, this is an ideal opportunity to give Bradman and Woodfall a nasty shock. That's why I haven't announced the team until the last minute. So, today is the day, gentlemen. This is where we surprise them.
Douglas, what
when this test goes out, you'll notice that all four fast bowlers are down to play. Needless to say, they will bowl very fast today, and whenever necessary, they will use fast leg theory. Consequently, we shall win the match by a convincing margin. Bill, pin this up for me, will you?
All right, skipper.
Douglas, do you have to use this fast leg theory? We're quite strong enough without it.
I'm afraid it's out of my hands now, Plum.
Skipper, your name isn't down to play here. You put Mr. Wyatt down as captain.
Maybe what? You were.
Oh, yes, of course, I didn't say. I shall be leaving you for a few days. Spot of fishing. I want to clear my mind for the first test, so you'll be in Bob's very capable hands for this game. Yes, Bob?
Oh, yes, I suppose so.
Splendid. Hard and fast, then. I won Master Bradman's confidence well and truly shattered.
Yes, Skipper.
Oh, I did toss up in your batting. Good luck, gentlemen.
Was worse than anywhere else in the country. It's said to be so bad that only one man in 70 has employment. And now, 3DB Melbourne brings you news of some startling developments in the world of cricket. Well, we seem to have lost Jack Ryder there. We've got a few minutes to go before it's time for Melbourne next year. So until then, here's some music for your pleasure.
Come in.
Appropriate enough. This is Don Bradley.
Ah, Harold, sorry to drag you up.
Our bungalow.
It's all right.
Dreams.
That's him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gets about a bit, doesn't he?
God. I'll turn this nonsense off. I just want to work with you and look to sit down.
Fine. Catch anything?
Yes, I did. Well, now, success or not?
Ah, well, yes and no, really. Huh? Well, I got in for 36 in the first and 13 in the second.
Good.
Yeah, but...
What?
Well, it's the way he played me. It's, he seemed to step right away from his stumps and hit the ball like a forehand smash in tennis.
My God, he must have moved quickly.
Aye, he did. He could hit it into the offside then, you see. It's wide open. If he had a bit of luck, he could have made a very quick 100 like that.
Well, let him. I'm not worried about the hundreds. It's the 200s and 300s I'm anxious to avoid.
Aye.
Hmm. And what about the others?
Well, Woodfall takes a bit of getting out, but otherwise... Well, most of them won't even get into the test side anyway, will they?
Oh, yes.
But I'm bowling a lot faster than before, and I did make Bradman up about a bit.
Good.
And I've discovered something else about these wickets.
Yes.
Well, you know when kids skim stones on water? You know, you throw a flat stone and see how many times you can get it to bounce.
Yes.
Well, it's a bit like that with me out there, you see. The ground's much harder, and because I'm a short ass...
It comes through faster, obviously.
No, wait a minute. Look. You know, when you're skimming stones, the lower down you get, the faster it goes and the more it bounces.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like that with me, you see. The ball actually accelerates after it's bounced.
Mm. Oh, it's possible.
Well, that's what happens.
Go in.
Douglas, sorry to barge in. Hello, Harold.
Hello, Mr. Wyatt.
I've just got this cable from Sydney. Bradman's pulled out of the first test. Too thick, would you believe?
Well, well, I wonder...
Oh, no, Douglas, I don't think he's funked it. Anyway, I can't honestly say that I'm sorry.
Oh, why?
Well, it's a major obstacle out of the way, isn't it? More satisfying to beat them at full strength, I suppose, but, well, we are here to win.
Yes.
And I suppose it rather changes things from our point of view.
Oh, in what way?
Well, we shan't need to use the leg theory stuff.
Ah, I see. Oh, no, absolutely not.
Splendid. I must say that is a relief.
Why not? Well, I rather think the little bastard will be sitting in the pavilion with a pair of field glasses, carefully working out how to deal with you.
Why?
So,
I think we'll wait until his toothache's better.
Some of the natives will be given employment in the mines, but the majority will be moved to another reservation until the gold resources have been exhausted. In Sydney, the MCC have beaten Australia in the first test match. They had only to score one run in their second innings for victory. The Nottinghamshire professional Harold Larwood captured 10 Australian wickets in the match. Although badly weakened by the absence of Bradman, Australia defended well in the first innings, McCabe scoring 187 not out. In the second innings, Fingleton also put up stout resistance. Sutcliffe, Hammond and Pataudé all scored centuries for England. And that is the BBC World News at 9:15. And now Reginald Dixon will give a recital of popular music on the organ of the Tower Ballroom, Blackpool.
Well, good day, everyone, particularly our listeners in Sydney. It's a beautiful morning here in Melbourne where the second test match is just about to get underway. I'm Jack Ryder, and I shall be giving you a running commentary on the day's play. And I shall be assisted by my old friend Alan Kippax. G'day, Alan.
G'day, Jack.
Now, England have won the toss, and not surprisingly, they have asked Australia to bat. Bradman, of course, is back in the side. He's down to bat at number four. And the England team are just taking the field now, led by their captain, Jardine, resplendent in his Harlequin's cap, which he has elected to wear in preference to his country's colours. He is followed by the four fast bowlers, Larwood, Vose, Allen and Bowes.
Harold?
Aye. How do you feel?
All right.
Good. Now, if you don't have any luck in your first over, then we'll switch to leg theory.
Aye.
Do you hate them?
Aye.
Good. You're my match winner, Harold. Now, go for them. Gully?
Sir.
Come and be a second, Gully.
By all means.
Come on, the whites. No quarter given.
Thank you, Patty.
Right, on your toes, chaps.
Go on, Harold Ludd.
Ah, well, Larwood's about to start his second over now. Jardine just stops him there, and I'm not sure. Yes, he's setting the so-called body line field. Yes, well, we have seen this attack once or twice on this tour. The idea being, of course, that the batsman, in trying to protect himself, will inadvertently offer up a catch. And the crowd don't like it much.
Gubby, in close. Herbert, right back, thank you. Now, backward shot, Paddy.
Not too keen on all this whatnot, actually, Fish.
What?
Chap has the odd scruple, you know.
Has he? Morris?
Skipper?
In view of His Highness's conscientious objections, would you go and field a backward short leg, please?
Skipper?
Sorry, Endoldash.
Unless you have anything constructive to say, I think you'd better spend the remainder of your last test match fielding on the boundary.
I see, the old raspberry, eh? Oh, well, so be it.
Right. Harold?
Seen him wreck a ball before.
Yeah, let me have it. Oh, yes, I see. Umpire?
What?
Ball split.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, look.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, I think we better have another one, don't you? Unless you think you can mend it.
Don't try to be clever with me. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah. Split all right.
Skipper?
Yeah, what is it, Harold?
I put a bit extra into that
yes,
one.
Yes, apparently so.
Yeah, but I split me left boot doing it. Look, it's torn all around the bottom.
Oh, God. Well, you better go and change them, but do hurry, for heaven's sake.
All right.
Now, umpire, what are you going to do about this?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've only got a new one in my pocket.
Spend it, right.
Just a minute. I can't give you that.
Well, why not?
Well, you just had a new ball. An unfair advantage to have another one.
Look, you won't find another one that's only two overs old, will you?
Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
We've already lost any advantage by wasting all this time.
Well, you'd have to take that up with the Board of Control. I couldn't
Well,
authorize...
you've got to do something. There are 64,000 people here who've paid to watch a test match.
I've warned you once already.
Now then, I'm going to take this ball and show it to a representative of the ABC. He'll be able to authorize one way or the other. Now, you stay here until I get back. And no monkey business.
What I would think happened, Jack, is that yeah. after some sort of disagreement, Larwood refused to bowl, and yeah. so Jardine sent him off.
Yes.
Whereupon the umpire seems to have walked off in protest.
Yes, yes, Alan, I think you may well be right. Yes, oh, well, Jardine does seem to have this effect on people. Sometimes he can be a bit supercilious, you know, with his fancy cap, and I know the crowd likes to give him a little friendly ribbing about his general demeanour, but I think he may have gone too far this time.
Yeah.
Anyway, now Larwood seems to be running back on the field now, so maybe he's had some second thoughts, and the umpire's coming back on again, so perhaps we're going to see a reconciliation. Although, I must say, I think it's Jardine who ought to be apologising.
Thank you. Here you are, Harold. Nice new ball for you. Off you go.
Just a minute.
What?
Show the new ball to the opposing captain, if you please.
Oh, dear. New ball, skipper.
Just one, is that a new ball?
Yes.
If you can't bowl with that, it's supposed to be two overs off.
Oh. Now, this is most extraordinary, Alan. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen this before.
No, Jack?
I mean, the English and the Australian captains appear to be playing some kids' game of French cricket just off the playing area. Jardine apparently sees fit to trifle with the patience of the spectators who've all paid good money to see this match.
Right, that's two overs.
Just let me have a look at it.
Thank you. Harold, all right, we're ready now. Here you are.
Right, thanks, Skipper.
Oh, Harold.
What?
Would you oblige me by knocking that bloody convict's head off?
Oh, I was going to do that anyway, Skipper.
Well, at last some degree of sanity has returned to the game. Larwood is actually going to bowl. Still, I regret to say, using the bodyline field, seven men on the leg side and only two on the batsman's right, covering the whole of the offside area. Well, Larwood is running in now. He bowled. My goodness. Oh, he's hit Woodford with a vicious bumper.
He seems to be rubbing the area just over his heart, Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have been very dangerous.
Yes, indeed, Alan. I really don't see any call.
No, you're right, Jack.
Well, now Larwood is saying something to Jardine. He's pointing down at his left foot. Oh, my word, Jardine just made a very violent gesture towards the pavilion. Well, you just wouldn't believe this. Larwood is leaving the field again. Jardine has sent him off for the second time in 10 minutes. He's walking back now, looking very angry indeed. The crowd, naturally enough, are showing their disapproval. Well, they've paid good money to watch this test match, and they're disappointed. My goodness, they're showing it. Oh, dear. Larwood just made a most unnecessary gesture. He pointed at his boot and kicked it in the air, obviously implying he would like to inflict physical harm on the Australian public who paid to watch him play cricket. Oh, dear. Well, I don't know about you, Alan, but, I wonder what's happened to British sportsmanship.
What is it this time?
This boot's split now.
Well, you can't keep coming off like this. There's half a board upstairs. They're furious.
Look, I can't help it, Mr. Warner. My boots just rip every... Oh, no. I have to put these brand new ones on.
Well, hurry up.
All right, I'll do my best.
What's the wicket like?
Terrible, there's no bounce at all.
Well, that last one of yours flew.
Aye, but I had to bowl it so short.
Melbourne's usually so lively before lunch.
Oh, aye. Oh, God, these are so tight.
Try not to think about it. Just concentrate on bowling them out.
Aye, well, we do our best.
We've got to win this one, old son.
Aye.
Yes, well, Larwood hasn't bowled at all well in this spell. Jardine's taken him off, and I think it's going to be Bowes going on in his place. Yes, it is.
I've noticed, Jack, that he wasn't getting any bounce out of the pitch.
Well, I concur with you there, Alan.
Also, as we found out in the luncheon interval, his new boots seem to be causing him a fair bit of pain.
Yes, Alan. Well, he hasn't really looked dangerous at all. Now, Bowes now bowls.
Yes, one! No! Get back!
Yes, come on!
Keep her, Patty!
Oh, yeah!
Bloody good, Patty!
Guys,
suppose it's a sort of net, really.
That was a bloody stupid thing to do. You brought Bradman in now.
Yes, it does take the wind out of one's essence a bit, doesn't it? I say, Gabriel, chair.
Skipper, what's wrong now?
Look, it's these new boots that take my skin off me toes.
Oh, for goodness sake, what is the matter with you? Why haven't you got a proper pair?
I told you, the other
day. Oh, go on then, go on. Go and change.
No, I'll get lynched if I go off again.
Right, I'm coming back in the boat. Want this little bastard out. That's what I brought you halfway around the world for, so you get on with it.
All right, I'm just fine.
There comes the boy wonder himself.
Don't believe it.
Then what's he going all the way around there for? A lap of honour or something?
I think he's acknowledging the applause.
Well, as long as he's not going to play bloody piano again.
Can I get his autograph, Skipper?
Well, this is really quite naughty.
Walking slowly to the wicket. Very sensibly, given himself time to accustom his eyes to the light. And this has really lifted the Melbourne crowd.
This is the national program from London on January the 7th, 1933. Here is the third news bulletin, copyright reserved. Early this morning, it was confirmed from Melbourne in Australia that England had lost the second test match. The news came at a time when England were strongly favoured to win the Ashes. Although MCC were hampered by an injury to Larwood, Bradman's second innings of 103 proved to be the decisive factor. Australia won by 111 runs. The series is now level at 1-1, with 3 matches still to come. As many as 35,000 people are reported to have died in an earthquake in Southern California.
After this test match, it has become apparent that the English bowling is quite ineffective. Bradman is simply too good.
Rubbish. Read me what Hobbs says.
England collapse. Only one man stands between England and the Ashes. That man is Bradman.
Oh, bugger, Bradman.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Come in.
Hello. I'm going down for a beer. You come in.
Be with you in a tick. I was just unpacking. Right, pig hole, this, isn't it?
Right. What did they put you in here for?
I don't know. Solitary confinement, I think.
Hey, do you hear what happened to his new harp ship?
No, what?
Well, they've got a bridal suite here with a bathroom seat. And when they found out they'd got an Indian royal coming, they did it all out for him and they put a notice on the door saying, suite of royal, royal stateroom, that's it.
Aye.
His Highness the Nawab of Patowdy, you see.
Aye, can you move? I want to hang this up. Hang on.
Aye. But when he got there, he went into the room and he found someone had got there first and unpacked all his stuff and everything.
Were they Jardine?
No, wait. He goes into the bathroom and there's Warner sitting having a nice hot bath.
Right.
So Pataudi says, get out, I'm a prince, I'll chop your head off and so on. And Warner tells him to bugger off because he was there first and anyway, it's manager's privilege to have best room. So they go on like that for a bit, you see. And then Pataudi goes off. But as he's going out of the main room, he sees that there's a writing desk. So he goes over and he gets the ink well and it's really full up, you see, and he goes back into the bathroom and he pours the whole bloody lot into Warner's bath.
No, really?
Aye! He got all blue on him.
Serve him right, silly old son.
Aye, hurry up, come on. I want to see if the team's up for tomorrow.
Well, I ain't playing for a start.
I think still so.
What do you mean so? They went bloody shreds 2 days ago. I was wringing blood out of my socks.
It's only a country game.
Oh, well, that's all right then, isn't it? I'll rip my feet up in a country game so I can't play in test match.
Oh, come on, have a beer.
What time did you say we'd be there?
7:30. We ought to go soon.
Oh, come on, let's have another one. We've got time.
Well, quick one then. Might be a wise move, actually. The daughter sings sometimes.
Oh, Lord. God.
Yes. Is that tomorrow's team, Douglas?
Yeah, look, why don't you get bitten up when I get the drink?
Righto. Hello. You've got Larwood down as 12th man.
What? Yes. Oh, Douglas.
Well, that's a bit much, isn't it? Poor chap's still hobbling. I'd have thought it'd been better to give him a few days off.
Yes, he needs a rest.
I disagree.
Oh, really, Douglas, that's just childish. It's this silly feud you're having.
Yes, well, team selection doesn't really concern you, Gubby, so perhaps you'd oblige us all by shutting up about it.
Douglas, we're simply saying that it's senseless to wear the man out before the next test.
He needs to learn some bloody loyalty. He's let his side down, and he's let his country down, and he's a smug little bastard. He thinks he's the most important member of the bloody side.
Of course he doesn't.
There you go, sport, 3 points.
Thank you. So, he's going to come out tomorrow, and he's going to sit in the pavilion and watch how an England team play.
Oh, Douglas, that's not fair. It wasn't his fault that we lost. I've never seen anyone try harder for his side.
Yes, he wants to win the Ashes as much as you and I do, Douglas.
What? I find that very hard to believe. Anyone who goes, a fast bowler who goes into a test match without even having proper equipment...
But he only split his boot because he was trying so hard. I've done it myself. You try for extra speed, and because you bring your left leg down much
higher... I don't care. I don't really well care if he has the bowl in his clogs. Oh, you know, I really am finding it difficult to captain this side. The bowlers either refuse to bowl as I instruct, or they haven't got any boots. One of my senior players won't field in the position he's asked, and I'm constantly being opposed by the manager.
Douglas, as far as winning the Ashes is concerned, we're all right behind you. It's the method.
Yes?
Well, this fast leg theory business, bodyline they call it now, I do wish you'd give it a rest.
You can't possibly expect me or anyone to captain the side without having tactical control.
No, Douglas, of course. All right. I'll support you as much as I can.
Splendid. Well, good health.
Good health?
Good health. Plum, you all right?
Yes. Why?
Well, your hands look sort of...
Good Lord, yes, it's blue.
Oh, it's just ink.
What have you been doing? Bathing in the stuff?
No, not that one. Well, she had big shoulders.
No, no, she were a right old jog, that one.
Blonde hair?
Oh, a blonde hair with a bloody great platter. I'm going right the way down and back.
No, I don't know which one you mean then.
Hey, look, it seems to put notice board. Come on, look.
What?
Hey, you're down as 12th man.
You are?
There it is, look. Loud H, 12th man. No sign of Vos W, so that's 3 lovely days off for me. I wonder what I could do.
We'll soon see to this.
You can't cross your name, huh?
Well, I am, because I won't be bloody there. So Jarling can stuff it.
Yeah, what do you think you're doing?
What?
You can't do that. It's an official team, this.
Who the hell are you?
Never mind who I am. You think you're so great, don't you? I suppose you think you're too good to be 12th man.
Why don't you mind your own business?
You know something. I hope you get dropped.
Listen, Nosey, that's my job you're talking about, my living, see? So why don't you run along and think about that, because I'm going to get very angry if you stay here much longer.
How dare you talk to me like that? Your manager's going to hear about this.
Good, and when you see him, you can tell him I'm not bloody playing. What are you laughing at? Come in.
Good morning, Howard.
Hello, Mr. Warner.
Now then, what's all this nonsense I've been hearing?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, I think you do. Look here, Larwood, this won't do. I've been told that you crossed your name off the team list. You used foul language in the hotel lobby and insulted one of the residents.
No.
What do you mean? No. Are you saying that two respectable members of the community have quite deliberately been telling lies?
I don't know about that. Crossed my name off the list because my feet are still sore. Played in all the last 5 matches, including the test match. It's not fair. I reckon I'd earn a few days off.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sure we'd all like a few days off. But unfortunately, there is a job to be done, for which I might say you are being amply recompensed. Now, as for swearing in the lobby and insulting a guest, well... Really, it's too bad.
I didn't.
I advise you to think of your good conduct, though, Miss Larwood. It's very much in the balance at the moment. I'm sure your wife would be most upset if you returned home without it.
Yes, Mr. Warner.
Now then, in view of your reluctance to be 12th man, Mr. Jardine has gone to a great deal of trouble to persuade the opposition to play 12 aside. So you won't have to suffer the indignity of sitting in the pavilion for the 3 days. All right?
That's not the... All right.
Good. Well, try to back out a bit from now on, eh? We want you fighting fit for the 3rd test.
Oh, my God,
man up! Come on, two there!
Oh, he'll never make a batsman.
Don't you be so sure. Hey, listen. It says, taking each 10th of a second exposure, it can be seen that, on average, the ball travels 40 yards per second.
It is therefore possible to calculate that Al Larwood bowls at 99 miles per hour.
Yeah, well, that doesn't take into account the batsman's reflexes.
No, I just think he's best to get out of the way, isn't he?
Well, that's easier said than done.
Well, I face him at home without too much trouble.
Yes, but I think 99 miles an hour is quite sharp enough for me.
Oh, Harold,
idiot.
Well, that's it then. 341. Not exactly unassailable.
I don't know how we're supposed to win this test match when people behave as if they're on the village green.
Come on, now just think positive. We can have a crack at them now.
Well, let's just hope our fast bowler has brought some adequate footwear along with him today.
I think you'll say something to him. It really is ridiculous, both of you stamping about refusing to speak to one another.
Brilliant.
Well,
all right, everyone, hurry up. We're out there again in a minute. Pity we couldn't rattle up a few more runs. I had hoped the last wicket would produce rather more than it did, but, well, there we are. Now, we've got a long session until the close, and we'll need to keep up the pressure all the way. Now, will you all make sure your kit is in good order? I don't want people coming up asking me if they can leave the field because they haven't got proper equipment.
Bastard.
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, it's really naughty, Shelby. Here, have a smoke. If he's still on about that, he must have a screw loose.
Made more bloody runs than he did. As soon as we get back to England, I'm going to knock his bloody head off.
Jack?
Yes, Skipper?
Listen, I'll take Lauer to start with.
Up to you.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Great.
Good. Well, I'll buy you dinner if we're still there at the close.
Well, you better book a table, then.
That's the ticket. Ready?
Yeah, too right, mate. Good
luck, sir. Yeah, good luck. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck. Come here.
Sir.
Take first over, will you?
What about Harold?
Oh, let him see you.
Douglas.
What?
I'm not going to bowl body line.
I don't care what you bowl. Just get him out or I'll stop your wages.
Aye. I'll do my best, Skipper. Hey, look. Alan's going to open.
Are you?
Give him a breather.
Still get you out, even if he doesn't knock your flaming head off.
That's it, Jack. Nice and easy. You fancy your chances then, brothers? Hey, brothers.
Look at him just staring out there.
Brothers.
Yeah?
I said, do you fancy your chances?
I don't make predictions.
Going to get after Larwood, are you?
Just play the best I can.
Right, well, there we are then. The master has spoken.
Oh, yeah? Why don't you tell me the secret of your success?
Listen, smarty pants, you're playing for a team, and don't you forget it. He touched it.
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Go on, Bradders. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, mate. Yeah. Good luck, Bradders.
He really does seem to come alive when he walks out to bat. Well, he's taking guard now. Straightens his cap. Has a look around the field. I wonder what can be in Gubby Allen's mind now. Well, he's ready to bowl. He starts off, he runs in and bowls to bumper. Oh, Bradman hooks that straight down to square leg.
Oh, what a marvellous shot, Jack.
Yeah, that was the most beautiful timing. So he hit the pickets now, and that's four to Bradman off his very first ball. As you can hear, this Adelaide crowd really appreciate that.
Over.
Well bowled, Gubby.
Sorry about those long hops.
No, it was a good over. Look, tell that silly little sod to bowl, will you?
What? Oh, really, Douglas? Well, this is ludicrous. Oh. Harold. Harold.
What's up?
Look, bowl this over, will you?
Skipper didn't say so.
No, well, he asked me to ask you if you'd mind bowling. Well,
why didn't he ask me himself?
Well, I think he's rather busy at the moment, setting the field and things.
Oh, yeah.
So, will you bowl?
Aye.
Right. Well, what's the matter?
Can I have the bowl, please?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. There you are. Larwood.
Aye. Aye. Go on, Skipper!
Put him over the torrent, Skipper!
Jesus!
My word, this is a fast over from Larwood. I don't think anybody envies Bill Woodfull at the moment.
Yeah, too right, Jack.
Well, I mean, the breeze usually gives a little bit of assistance from the river end, but quite honestly, at the speed this man is bowling at the moment, I don't think it really makes much odds.
Fine up, please, Herbert. All right, Harold.
to your life.
I'll get a doctor.
All right, let me see.
It's all right.
Have luck. Anything broken?
It's all right.
That was a nasty crack. Do you want to go off?
No.
Come on, help him up, help him up. That's it. You sure you don't want to go off?
No, look, I'll be all right.
Good, good. Well, take your time anyway. Harold.
What?
Don't take any notice of this bloody rabble.
No, I won't.
Good.
What?
Well, Boldo, boy.
Oh, thank you, Skipper.
Friends?
All right.
Well, he's shown great courage in electing to stay on the field of play at all, when I'm sure he must be in great pain. The Larwood sets off. Now, Jardine waves him to stop. Oh, yes, I suppose this had to happen sooner or later. The body line field is now being set. So after hitting Woodville so painfully, he is now, in effect, wouldn't you say, Alan, being told to concentrate his attack on the batsman's body. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the cricket for today. Now we can all settle down to watch a bloodbath. He's all right. He's looking to see if his stumps are still there. He doesn't know what happened then at all. I must say, I'm not too sure either. I saw Larwood's arm come over, and the next thing that happened was Woodfull's bat just spun out of his hands, landed about 2 yards away from him.
He's just patted Larwood on the back.
No, this isn't the game.
Bloody war, that's what it is. Oh, I'm not watching any more of this.
You wait till Jardine's back, I'll knock his bloody teeth out.
Oh, you reckon you'll still be alive then, do you?
And Jack, you all right, mate?
Yeah.
You sick?
Of course I'm sick.
Yeah, but have you seen what you're missing?
It was the second flaming ball.
No, you're still in one piece, mate. Skipper's half dead out there.
He's out there, though, isn't he?
You should see what he's taken.
Was that him just now? I was in the shower.
Yeah, same place he got it in Melbourne. Jeez. Yeah. Thought he was coming in feet first. He's still there, though.
How's the boy wonder doing?
Trying to hit his way out of it.
Yeah, I thought he would.
Well, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Well, he doesn't want to get himself killed.
I've seen that happen.
What?
Mate of mine. Went out like a light.
What, he got hit?
Yeah. Junior grade game. He was 16.
Oh, stupid shot!
What's he doing playing a shot like that?
Selfish bastard.
Oh, just for the boy one.
Yeah, right. Here goes then.
Yeah, you show him that.
Good luck, Happy. You'll be right.
Good on you, mate.
How many balls has he got?
Well, I saw him under the shower yesterday, but I wasn't specially looking, so I...
One, I think.
Here comes the hero of the day.
Yes.
What do you want me to do? Score runs or get my head broken?
Yeah. Woodfull's been out there for an hour and a half now. I'm surprised he can still walk. He's been hit all over the place, but my goodness, this is a brave performance. He's scored 22 now, and in that time he's lost Fingleton, Bradman, who really batted very irresponsibly, and now McCabe is also back in the pavilion. Well, Alan comes in now to bowl. Woodfull comes forward, he's bowling, he's out. The Australian captain is out, and that is 4 for 51.
Gee, Skipper, you're in pretty bad shape, you know.
There you are, Skipper. Drink that.
Oh, thanks.
You just lie still, like the doc said.
Elijah Lynn.
What the hell do you want?
Come to see the wounded soldier.
What soldier?
Just came to see how he is. Excuse me.
Hey, come.
Bill?
Look, what have you come for?
Bill, is that you there? Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. It does look nasty. Look, I've come to offer my sympathy on behalf of...
I don't wish to discuss it.
No. Why not?
There are two teams out there on the Oval, but only one of them is playing cricket. It's time some people got out of this game.
Oh, yes, I know. But apart from that...
Look, why don't you just clear off?
Yeah, get off.
I see. Hmm. If that's your attitude.
No, I'm not. And you can shove that up your old school tie.
Yeah.
Come in, gentlemen. Good of you to come up. Yes, Woodfull, how are you feeling?
Not too bad, Miss Roxley.
Good. Now, why don't you tell me what the hell is going on down there? I've just been told somebody else got hit.
Yes, Oldfield. They've just taken him up to hospital.
He's alive?
Just.
Thank you. Will you please keep the board informed as to what's going on in future? We're very concerned.
Yes, we're a bit edgy too, Mr. Oxlade. You know, we actually have to face this bowling.
What about this body line? Why is it suddenly so unplayable? Bradman?
It's not unplayable. You just have to take more risks.
I see. Well, it's got to be stopped. If anyone else gets hurt, this crowd will tear the place apart.
I don't see what can be done.
Well, for a start, you two can cable a complaint to the MCC in London.
No, I don't think we want to do that.
What?
I think the board can do its own complaining.
Look, you're the ones who are getting hit. You're the ones who are going to end up in hospital if this goes on. We've got 30,000 angry, unemployed Australians out there, and if anyone lays a finger on one of those Englishmen, we're going to have an international incident on our hands.
Oh, I see.
You have a responsibility to do something about it.
Sledging is fun for young and old. Johnny looks on while Dad has a turn. The way down the slope he goes, faster and faster. Oh dear, bad luck, Dad. No bones broken, but it's a long climb back up again. And so now from snow to sun, and there's certainly plenty of that down under. This is Adelaide, where England beat Australia in the third test match. Here's Larwood, bowling to Woodford. Oh, that must have hurt, but he's soon on his feet again and battling away. Larwood again, bowling to McCabe. He hits that one all right, 4 runs. But Oldfield can't get out of the way of this one. Australia lost by 338 runs. A complaint was sent to MCC headquarters at Lord's about the English bowling. It's just too fast for them. Bad luck, Australia, but don't blame us if you can't take it. It was a proud day for the little town of Bolton in Lancashire. Preparations for the Prince of Wales' visit had been going on all week.
Come in.
Douglas?
Ah, come in, Digaby.
Ah, there you are. Are you all right?
What do you mean?
Well, you're not usually on the floor like that.
The ABC's cable lords.
Yes.
I made an official complaint about me. I found this copy pinned to my door when I came in. It's the end of it.
Don't be ridiculous, Douglas. They've simply made asses of themselves. As soon as we saw that cable...
You've seen this already?
Well, yes.
I see.
You were out, Douglas, when that arrived. Clum asked me to read it. We tried to stop them sending it to London, but it had already gone on.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm finished now, anyway.
Don't be so dense, Douglas. That thing's like a red rag to a bull. Bodyline bowling. Menace to best interests of the game. In our opinion, is unsportsmanlike. Likely to upset friendly relations between England and Australia. There. You don't think the MCC is going to stand being called unsportsmanlike? They'll back you all the way after this.
You think so?
Well, of course they will. Don't be an ass.
I'll bet that little Bradman bastard's behind this. They simply can't take being beaten. If I might just have your attention, gentlemen. Thank you. As some of you will already know, a cablegram was sent earlier on today by the Australian Board of Control to the MCC at Lord's. Now, I don't propose to insult you by reading it out. Suffice it to say that it contains the most slanderous and outrageous imputations as to our sportsmanship and sense of fair play. Personally, I shall be unable to take part in any further test matches after this one is finished until these accusations are withdrawn. I've sent a cable to the MCC to this effect. Now, you may consider that to continue playing would be quite proper and that to do so under different leadership would be desirable. It has been stated in the press that as a result of my captaincy, there is considerable dissension in the team. Now, this, I admit, comes as a surprise to me. However, in view of these rumours, and bearing in mind my own poor performance with the bat, it may well be that the interests of the team will be best served by my standing down. If that is the case, then I shall gladly do so. But that is for you to decide. I shall now withdraw to give you an opportunity to speak freely. However, I would ask you to bear this in mind. Whatever decision you make must be unanimous. We are attacked, insulted from all quarters. The press, Board of Control, the crowds. In fact, I learned today that my good friend Harold was actually spat upon by some foul thug in the street. Now, if we are to be subjected to this deplorable abuse, then let us bear it with dignity and, above all, in unity. Now, before I leave you,
I should just like to say that whatever you decide, I am deeply grateful for the hard work, advice, and loyal support that you have given me. For 3 months now, we've lived together, played together, and fought some great battles together. And I know in my heart that I'll never meet a truer, stouter, more jolly bunch of chaps as long as I live. I leave you.
For he's a jolly good fellow. Come on, you lot. For he's a jolly good fellow. And all of them.
Gentlemen, the MCC have finally sent a reply to our cable. They've reacted with typical high-handedness. I'll just read it out. We, the MCC, deplore your cable message and deprecate the opinion that there's been unsportsmanlike play. We assure you appreciate how impossible it would be to play any further tests till we receive a clear indication that the good sportsmanship of our team is not in question. If the situation is such you would consider it desirable to cancel the remainder of the programme, we would consent with great reluctance.
Is that it?
Yes.
They're just sitting there 12,000 miles away in ivory towers.
Well, I'm not retracting one word.
Look, they'll call the side back to England, break off diplomatic relations. They've got nothing to lose.
They think they can just dictate to us.
Well, that's the English for you. They're fine until they get outside that island, but that's when the trouble starts. They do things they'd never dream of doing at home. Goes right through history.
They're just sitting up there in an ivory tower.
That's right.
Oh, I wish they'd make up their bloody minds. It's not knowing whether we're going to play or not.
No, I think they'll back down.
Oh, I don't know. They're that stubborn, these Aussies.
No one dare call it off.
Oh, don't be so sure. You know what my dad says? Put a stick in a bucket and Kelly
will paint it. Kelly will paint it, it's true.
We might as well sod off home now.
Well, I hope not. I'm finished with these bastards yet.
If they called it off, would we go straight home? Or would we have to stay here till it's time to go? Oh, God, I hope not.
Aye.
We might have to play them at something else. Draft, something like that.
No, it'd be a bit rough for them, that would.
Aye, they'd probably complain to board.
Yeah, bloody squealers, isn't they?
What I don't understand is why none of them have tried to bump us out.
Because, lad, they've got nobody quick enough, have they?
No, but, I mean, if somebody punches you in the face, then you give them one back, don't you?
Gentleman's game, this. You're supposed to turn the other cheek.
Yeah, but they're more sort of primitive than us, aren't they? I mean, they're all descended from criminals and convicts and that, so... Well, why don't they knock our heads off?
They got no pride in the work.
Oh, sod it.
One more win, that's all we need. Oh, Christ, I wish they'd make up their bloody mind.
Well, you can have a crack at them again next year.
No. I won't get another chance, not with... Well, I've got them now, see? I ain't finished with Bradman yet.
Come in.
Douglas.
Morning, Plum. Do you sit down?
The ABC have sent me a copy of their reply to Lords.
Oh, well, just a minute. There. Now then,
they've retracted.
Ah,
listen, we do not regard the sportsmanship of your team as being in question.
Well, 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 something of a change of heart, eh?
Yes, forced on them, of course.
Huh?
I know of two government officials who were involved. Could well have gone higher.
Menzies ever handed it?
More than likely.
They have made asses of themselves, haven't they?
Bloody mess all round.
So, we carry on, eh?
Yes. Look, the message does go on to say that they hope the remaining games will be played with traditional good feeling.
Let me see.
So I thought that as they had given a bit of ground, we could probably ease up on
what?
Well, I wondered what our plans were regarding tactics.
Well, as you've only just told me that we're going to play, it's rather difficult to say. I mean, I haven't seen the wicket. I haven't even selected the team.
Douglas, we've come through one battle. Don't let's embark on another.
I'm afraid I don't know what you mean.
Of course you damn well do. I don't want Bodiline used again on this tour. I shall certainly put a stop to it in England when I get back.
Now, you know, I can't possibly continue under those conditions.
Oh, do be sensible.
In view of what you've just told me, I think my resignation will be eminently sensible.
Don't try to threaten me, Douglas.
It's not just the threat.
I see.
Well, it does rather look as if one of us will have to resign.
What?
If your conscience is so racked by the sight of beaten Australians, then it would probably be best if you took the next ship home.
How dare you! I want to win this series more than you could possibly imagine.
I know you do. That's why you want me to lead the side. And that is why you will continue to support me, whatever tactics I use.
Oh, are we there yet?
Just going through the main gates now.
So bloody hot in here.
Be a lot hotter out in the middle.
It's like the desert. They shouldn't play cricket here. So bloody hot.
Hey, Ellie, you're sweating like a pig. You all right?
Yeah, just bloody hot, that's all.
Used to be a punishment, this, with the convicts. Used to ship them out to Australia, lock them in Blackmarais and take them to Brisbane and make them play cricket in 110 degrees. Hey, I'm glad I'm not playing. Hey, up. Here we are, then.
All right, this way, you jackers. Come on, hurry up, please. We can't hold the crowd back for long. Come along, please.
Come on, we got to follow this chap.
Hey, run for the stick window, then, for Christ's sake.
You keep believing your
life. What's this?
This is a dressing room block through here.
But it's a cage.
It's security, mate. You're going to need it.
Oh, mate.
I would suggest that Larwood is feeling the absence of his injured teammate, Bill Vose. He hasn't taken a wicket all day. But I must say, he's kept up the attack constantly in this blistering heat. Well, 3 for 251 then, Australia, here at the Gabba. And, no, I can't take anything now. Listen, that... I've just had a note passed to me saying that the English batsman, Eddie Painter, has been taken to hospital with tonsillitis. And will take no further part in the match. Well, that really is a blow for England.
How do you feel?
Tip top.
Does it hurt in your guts as well?
No, it's just my throat. It's on fire.
You want some of this water?
No, I'm not supposed to drink that.
Mm. Anything else you want?
No. Oh. Hey, Luke, I'm sorry.
Oh, sure.
Well, I didn't know I was this bad. I wouldn't have said I was fit.
Nah, it don't matter.
Someone else could have played. I mean, even you could have played. You're fitter than me. Oh,
don't worry. I don't like cricket anyway. It's a boring game.
Bloody daft thing to do. I just wanted to play.
You're supposed to be resting your tonsils, so sure up.
Can you find out what the score is?
What, again?
Aye.
Well, that's another wicket for Australia. I wonder what the England captain thinks of this. England are really in trouble. I bet Jardine's in that dressing room wondering what on earth he can do. He'll have his thinking cap on, that's for sure. Certainly more used to him than that fancy coloured thing he usually wears. Well, 5 for 200 they are now. Batting a man short too with Painter in hospital. Oh dear, oh dear.
Right. What? I think one could class this as an emergency.
Where are you going? You're not going to telephone the hospital.
Nothing else for it.
It's too dangerous. The man's ill.
Well, what alternative can you suggest?
If we can just get down to it. If the last four can play sensibly...
Ah, bat better, you mean. Yes, that is a thought.
It could be fatal if you made him bat in his condition. He might get pneumonia or something.
This is a test match, for God's sake. I'm not this captain much on Kandahar with a fever on.
Which one of you jackets is Jardine?
Yes?
There's two blokes just arrived in an ambulance. I didn't let them in. One of them looks like a wino. Says he's a decorator or something.
Will you please let them in immediately? They're members of this team.
Eh? Yeah, if you say so.
You're not going to let him bat, are you?
Well, that's what he's in the side for.
Well, should we make a bed for him so he can lie down till he goes in?
Yes, good idea, Harold. Gabby, open one of those bottles of champagne, will you? Can't do him any harm.
Right.
My dear fellow, how are you?
Fit as a fiddle, Mr. Jardine.
Spread it, spread it. Well, you're coming just at the right time. We're in a bit of a jam.
Lay him down. Let him rest. Douglas, he can't bat in that state.
You're all right now, my old mate. We've got some champagne coming for you.
It's just like the Ritz, is this?
Now, if 5 wickets down, old son, do you want to go next or take it easy for a bit?
No, I'll pad up. I feel like a knock.
Good man.
This is a most courageous effort by Painter. He's been out there for exactly an hour now. Jardine is certainly lucky to have this kind of pluck to call on. Well, he looks very shaky indeed. And, at times, or once or twice, I must say, I thought he was just going to drop down dead out there, right in the middle of the Gabba.
Listen, well, there are dick
coming,
you're staying in there, lad.
No.
Hold the door, don't let him out. Back up.
He might stay in for hours. He might make one.
Shut up! That's it, Eddie.
Oh, well played, Eddie.
It's all right, he's still there. No, you're not. You were there when he started, and that's where you'll stay.
Stop, Marnie. It's the same for everybody.
I've had my legs in the air for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
Some people would give a great deal to be where you are now.
Bloody good. Well played.
Oh, good shot, Eddie.
The painter has now scored 83 runs, and this has been a most remarkable achievement because it really must be well over 100 degrees out there. Ironmonger bowls to him and... Ah, now that's in the air. Is he going to be caught? Yes, caught. He's caught by Richardson. He's out. And that's it. England are all out for 356. And they've only got one man to thank for that token. Just listen to that crowd as he walked back to the pavilion. A marvellous innings. He really got England out of the spot. And Australian crowds love to see the underdog winning through. And Painter's pluck has certainly managed just that.
Here he comes now. Get those blankets ready.
Right,
you are.
Oh, thank God that's
all.
Oh, they're mad in there.
Excuse me.
Oh,
no.
Sorry, Mr. Blank.
There
he is. Well done.
Really good.
Come on, bloody good show.
Put this round, Jim. It doesn't get cold.
Right. Well done. You should have got 100.
Oh, sorry, Skipper.
Now, just... Here we are. Here we are. Now, just sit this slowly.
Oh, that's a glance.
Slowly? Right, Harold. It's up to you now.
Okay, Skipper. Australia surely can't hold on much longer with Larwood bowling like this. As we've seen so many times in this series, the Australian second innings batting has absolutely collapsed under this relentless bodyline attack.
The comradeship and purpose of this team have enabled us to overcome adversities not only on the cricket field, but off it as well. I am naturally delighted that we've won the Ashes, won them handsomely, but above all, won them with dignity. Kipling once said that cricketers can meet triumph and disaster and treat the two impostors just the same way. It is my fervent wish, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Woodfall, members of the Board of Control, that at the end of this series, he will have been proved right.
Skipper?
Yes?
Could I have a word with you, do you think?
My dear Lowell, come and sit down.
Well, I don't want to interrupt the excitement.
Yes, it's pretty grisly, isn't it?
I don't know why they make us play these games. Nobody comes to watch him.
Oh, I think it's to give the locals the chance to say they bowled at Wally Hammond or face the bumper from Harold Larwood.
Aye.
Some of us need a bit of practice, you know. Can't all be in form all the time.
I don't suppose not.
If you're bored by these games, you ought to bowl flat out of the poor sods. Well, we can finish the whole match in a couple of hours.
Ah, you can't do that, though, can you?
I can't see why not. They do ask for it sometimes.
Ah, you know what one of them said to me yesterday? He's been in about 5 minutes, and he looked at me, and he said, I've got you worried now, you bastard.
Is that the one with all the hair?
Aye, so I let him get his 10 runs, and then out he went.
Oh, you should have let him have one.
No, you can't do that. He might have ducked it or something. He'd be dead by now.
Mm. Oh, do get on with it. Dear, oh dear.
Oh, well, we're all getting a bit tired now, I think.
Yes.
I know I am. Playing in nearly every match.
Mm.
It's, well, I was thinking about a final test.
Mm.
Well, yes, you see, now we won the Ashes, I, well, I wondered if you'd really need me.
Well, of course I shall. Whatever made you ask that?
Well, it's just that I've never seen a test match before.
What?
Well, I never watched one and not played in it.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, surely when you were a boy, you...
Well, when I was a boy, I was down the pit. There was no money for test matches.
Oh, yes, of course.
Couldn't afford it till I started playing for the county.
Ah.
So I thought it'd be good to make up for it now. You see, I've always wanted to watch...
No, Harold. There's absolutely no chance, I'm afraid. We've lost one game already, and I don't want to risk losing another.
It was only 1 out of 18, though, and we have won the Ashes.
I don't want them to come out of this series with one shred of self-respect. I've been planning this for a year, and I want to finish the job properly. And for that, I need my match winner. I want you to do it for me, just once more. You may not know it, Harold, but you're the best. Probably the best ever. One more test, and you'll prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Now, you think about that.
I will. Fancy the game anyway.
Good man. You know, I loathe this country. I loathe their foul, drunken crowds, their oppressive, bloody bonhomie. Ever since I first set foot here, I've hated these people. So, now that we've reached a point where we've got the bastards down, I want to make damn sure that they stay there.
The roving eye blinks, and we're there. The Sydney Cricket Ground, Australia. How's that for fast travel? And how's that for fast bowling? That's Harold Love, taking another wicket in the fifth test between England and Australia. The boys from down under call him Hoodoo Larwood. Hoodoo is right. Here he is again, bowling to the Australian wonder batsman, Bradman. And he's out. No mistake about it. Now it's England's turn to bet. Larwood is England's greatest bowler, but who is our greatest batsman? Sutcliffe? Hammond? Or is it that chap who's hitting all the sixes? Wait a minute. That's Larwood again. You just can't keep a good man down. Crack. That's a good hit. Crack. There's another to give him his 50. Crack. And he only needs 2 for his century. Will he get it? No, he's caught. Oh, bad luck, Larwood. But what an innings. 98 runs. In the Australian second innings, Larwood and Bradman battle it out again. But see how Bradman hits the English speedster to the boundary. Larwood bowls faster and faster until suddenly he breaks down. 5 months of hurling thunderbolts at the Aussies has taken its toll. His left foot is broken. They used to call him Hoodoo Larwood. Now he's Hopalong Harold. But after a word with his captain, he bravely decides to stay on the field until Bradman is out. And now England need only 164 to win. Hammond and Wyatt knock off the last few runs. See how the Gaumont British News camera captures the final moments of this historic test. And that's it. Another magnificent victory for Jardine's men. And after 2.5 years, the Ashes come back to Lords. Well done, England. You've done your job, and we're proud of you.
Harold Larwood never fully recovered from the injury sustained at Sydney. Back in England, he was asked to make a public apology for the method of bowling he had employed in Australia. He refused, and was never selected to play for England again. Douglas Jardine continued to captain England for another year until 1934. In 1935, the MCC took steps which effectively put a stop to bodyline bowling.
The Englishman Abroad was written by Christopher Douglas. For the MCC, Michael Cochrane played Douglas Jardine and Robert Lang, Pelham Warner. Harold Larwood was played by Michael Kitchen and Bill Vose by David Threlfall. Gubby Allen, Robert East. Bob Wyatt, Hayden Wood. The Nawab of Patori, Sam Dastor. Bill Bowes, Peter Joyce. Maurice Leyland, John Church. Arthur Carr, Stephen Thorne. Perrin, Patrick Barr. Higson, John Bott. The Australian team, Donald Bradman, Christopher Blake, Jack Fingleton, Nick Tate, Bill Woodfull, Edmund Pegg, Vic Richardson, Damon Saunders, Stan McCabe, Peter Dalson, Tim Wall, Graham Faulkner. Oxlade, Philip Dunbar, Jeans, Gordon Reed. Jack Ryder, Gordon Gostelow, Alan Kippax, Michael McStay, Alf Noble, Martin Friend, Gaumont British News, Christopher Douglas, Commander O'Sullivan, Michael Spice, and George V, Brian Haynes. The play was directed by Jane Morgan.